Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, read the worders. Got to make a t-shirt. We got to read, we got to make a t-shirt that says read the worders.
There we go.
So all y'all can buy it and have special gear you can wear when you're reading the word with us. It make you more anointed and everything. It's Sunday morning. Welcome to receive communion together today. And how does it work like this? But that when we're dealing with all of the false prophets of Baal all across this nation, that's the verse of scripture for today. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is that appropriate?
The Reverend Dr. Elijah, the prophet, going to be smoking some prophets of Baal tonight, this morning. So, if you have been in any way, in the least bit, like, totally shocked at what you're seeing, don't be. Jesus said there will be a separation of the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the tares. And the servants said, when Jesus told the story, well, should we go pull up the tares that are being grown amongst the wheat? And he said, no, leave them. Why? Because at the harvest, they are two totally different looking plants. And tares are being seen. Do not in any way come up on the side of the isms. Communism, socialism, feminism, male chauvinism, racism, all of them. It doesn't matter. Believers do not belong in isms. Wow.
Amen.
Not political, not religious, not governmental. And we are in the last days. And thank God we're on the right side of it. And so here we go. Get your communion elements ready. And share this with a bunch of people that receive communion with us today. Are you ready? Let's pray our opening prayer together like we do every time we come here. Father, I open my spirit, soul, and body to be led by you today so that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith and I'll be rooted and grounded in love, be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. So I will know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that I may be filled. You know how much is left over when you're filled? With all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't just say it, I believe it. 1 Kings chapter 17. I know if I don't get started, this is going to be one amazing video, but it'll be long. Ready? Here we go. 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah prophesies and proclaims a drought. Remember, chapter 16, Ahab sinned worse than all who had been before him and built the altar on purpose and caused Israel to sin. Verse 1, Elisha the Tishbite, not the fish bite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Not even dew. Word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here, turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So, he prophesied to Ahab, and God said, run now. All right. The ravens, verse 6. No, wait, 5. He went and did. That's the problem with a lot of people. He went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. I believe, like my pastor, Dr. Barker, that that bread and meat came right from Ahab's table. The old raven came in, pulled off a nice big old juicy steak. And the next one came by and got the big English muffin or whatever was being served that day. 7, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Well, naturally, if you prophesy a drought, you best live by a well. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, hey, he probably didn't say that, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may have a drink. And as she was going to get it, he called her and he said, hey, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand when you come. And she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I have a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. I wouldn't think that there's a lot of faith in that lady's words. And yet Jesus said, pause. Jesus said, of all the widows in the time of Elijah, there was one that had faith. And it's this one. So she made it. Not only do you care for Elijah, but Jesus is talking about it. That's great faith. And Elijah said to her, verse 13, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me. And afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Now, I got a question. I say this all the time. Why did the Holy Spirit of God inspire the writer to put that story in the book, except that it's important to God Almighty?
Yeah.
So you can judge preachers all you want about asking for an offering, but that's not wise. Why? Because it's that lady's willing offering, boom, and now her barrel of meal didn't wax dry and the oil didn't run up. Watch what it says, 14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry and until the Lord, the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went and did. Somehow in those words, she got enough faith to go do it. And the bin of flour was not used up, but did the jar of oil run dry according to the word of the Lord, but she spoke by the prophet. Believe the prophet, and you shall prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20. You didn't read it yet, but it's like a couple days away. Verse 17, Elijah revives the widow's son. It happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. She said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, man of God? Have you come to bring me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? I don't know what her sin was, but evidently she had some kind of a sin there somewhere.
Everybody has something.
Yeah, something. 19. He said to her, give me your son. He took him out of her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was sitting, laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord and said, oh, Lord, my God, You also brought tragedy on the woman with whom I lodged by killing her son. And of course, God didn't do that. That's the old covenant, and everybody thought death and life came from God. He stretched himself out in the child three times, cried out to the Lord, and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, I pray, let the child's soul come back to him." The Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him. He revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper room into the house, gave him to his mother, and said, "See, told you so." The woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is the truth." Now think about this. Elisha and the Shunammite woman, and she got a son she didn't have, and then that son died. So let's get a revelation about this. The enemy hates sons. And he wants to make the word of the prophet ashamed. He's a loser. He's a head crushed, Jesus crushed, nailed to the cross, defeated in hell loser. All right, here we go. This is 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah's message to Ahab. Here he comes back after the king again. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." So there's 3 years between 24, 17, 24, and 18, 1. There's 3 years in there. All right? Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah. Get it in your mind. Who was in charge of his house? Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. Obadiah had taken 100 prophets, hidden them 50 to a cave, and he fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go into the land, to all the springs of water, to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock." They divide the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. How do you work for a wicked man like Ahab when you're a man that believes in God, except that you were there to take care of the prophets? Ready? As Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" He answered him, "Notice that Lord is a small L." In other words, it's not Jesus. All right? He answered it, "It is. Go tell your master Elijah is here." He said, "How have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you." And when they said he's not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. And now you say, "Go tell your master Elijah is here." Shall come to pass as soon as I'm gone from you, the Spirit of the Lord will come on you, carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab and cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, "Go tell your master Elijah is here. He will kill me." How many times did he say that now? What did I do? He's going to kill me. 15. Elijah said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him. Ahab went to meet Elijah. Happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And Ahab's the guy that built the false god Molech and Baal that killed their children. He answered and said, "I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Jezebel is feeding 800 prophets at her table every day because they would prophesy to her and make her feel good about how wicked she is. Ahab sent for all the children of Israel, gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. You can only imagine. Shaking in their boots. And, but if you don't know, that spirit of Jezebel is still on people today, male and female. And it's a scary, it's
terrifying.
It works with terror to cause you to be afraid. Manipulation and control. 22. Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in the wood, put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And you call on the name of the Lord your God, your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. God who answers by fire, he is God. All the people answered and said, that is well spoken of you, sir. 25, Elijah said to the prophet of Baal, choose one bull for yourself and prepare it first. For you are many, and call on the name of your Lord your God, but put no fire under it. They took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it. Called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped upon the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry out a little bit louder, for he is a god. Either he is meditating or he's busy. He might be on a journey, or perhaps he might even be sleeping and it needs to be woke up. You know, you never know. Gods are, especially false gods, they could be out wandering around in the field doing nothing. 28, they cried aloud and they cut themselves. That's what it comes from. Cutters come from a false god. As was their custom with knives and lances until the blood gushed out on them. See, that's what Baal is. He wants blood, human blood. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. All the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the large altar enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood. Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar and so filled the trench with water. Came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, here's his prayer. Count the words. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. I think it's like 28 words. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, consumed it, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench.
That was a hot fire.
That fire came now. And all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them all there. 850 executions that day. The work of a prophet is sometime long. 41, Elijah said to Ahab, get up and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He bowed down to the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up. Now look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. Seven times he said, go again. Came to pass the seventh time. And he said, there's a cloud, as small as a man's hand, rising out of the sea. He said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot, go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. He beat the horses.
Yeah.
And you got to understand the horses. They're pulling a chariot with a fat head in it, so it was probably heavy. But it was still 40 miles. Or 20 miles. It's a long way. Whoops. Got a new chapter. 21. Chapter 19. Elijah escapes from Jezebel. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with a sword. Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them tomorrow by this time. Got a word for you, Jezebel. That was 2,800 years ago, and you're dead, and Elijah is still alive. I did not chase that rabbit. I don't know if you caught it, but I left it alone. And when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life, went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it's enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. As he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly the angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked thereby, he said, there's cake baked on the coals, a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. It's pretty cool when an angel comes and feeds you. You know it's going to be good food. They don't eat bad food. It's not like they eat McDonald's. And he looked, and thereby he said, was cake and a coal and jar and water. And he lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is great for you. He arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. And 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God, which means they're way up in the north and they go clear down to the tip of Sinai Peninsula. Sinai is the one that's on the bottom. It's a V like that. The Red Sea's over here. Gulf of Perez, whatever that is there. He went all the way from Mount Carmel, which is in the north by the Sea of Galilee, all the way down there, 40 days. Yeah, to the mountain of God. Horeb, that's where Moses got the Ten Commandments. That's where Moses met with God. You know, Horeb is a mountain. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God, host for the children of Israel, have forsaken the covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind, the Lord passed by, tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And so it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because of the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets. And I'm left alone, and they seek to take my life." The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael, king over Syria. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whatever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. He was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and my mother, and I will follow you." He said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slaughtered them, and boiled their flesh. Can you imagine how long that took? Using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. May God add his reading, his blessing, to the reading of his holy word. And this, wait, this is Circle the Wagons. In this day, darkness and light have come together, severe. And dark, it's all black. And light is light, it's all white. And there's two clouds. There's a dark cloud and a bright cloud. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord will be seen on you. Run to the glory. Run to his presence. Get out of wickedness." You cannot afford in the day we live to be messing around trying to have one arm in the world and one arm in the church and God. Can't do it. That darkness is going to suck you in. And here's the thing. Jesus said there's going to be a separation. You've got to be on the right side. Pastor, I don't know how to do that. I do. Listen to me. Every day when you wake up, the first thing you say out of your mouth out loud is, "Father, in the name of Jesus, help me walk with you today." Why? Because that's the first thing that's coming out of your mouth. You may not understand everything about God, but get that out of your mouth. Why? Because you're starting your day out with, "Help me walk with you today." And then all day long, just keep saying, show me which way to go. Because, man, this is I'm seeing people fall down in front of the enemy, in front of sin and wickedness. You can't do that. You're making decisions that last for eternity. And I know you got people in posts and links and shares and, you know, angry faces and sad faces and tears. And there ain't a bit of that's going to matter when you're standing in front of Jesus and he opens this book and says, "How did you live according to this?" Listen, it's not judgment, hellfire, and brimstone. It's find out that you've been reconciled to the Father and that he's going to live in you. And then just walk with him every day. It's the most peaceful, wonderful, amazing, bold, strong, powerful force you've ever seen in your life in Jesus' name.
It's a peace that the rest of the world doesn't.
Oh, yeah, there ain't nobody else has. But you do, and you can help all your friends get it in Jesus' name, especially this younger generation. Mm-hmm. You guys have been, you've been handed a bad deck of cards. Don't take the deck and become it. Flip them up and become a man and woman of God. Ready? It's time for us to receive communion. Now, this is how we do it. We read the verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Then we say a prayer of salvation. That way we know everybody's right with God. When we're finished with that, give you about 2 minutes of instruction, and then we'll receive the communion elements together. Always remember, Sunday morning, we receive communion together here, so make sure you have your elements. Remember, if you don't have them with you, get just a piece of bread and some water, whatever you got, so that you can receive the elements with us today. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, bless this time together with your wonderful presence. Thank you for Jesus and his wonderful work. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he blessed it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." Same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes." Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread, drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. "God's perfect love is perfected among you and me in this." What? "That we might have boldness in the day of judgment." We're being judged all over the nation right now. We get to be bold. Why? Our hearts are filled with love. We have no animosity within them. Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we on this earth. We are. He's the head, and we're the body. So we're seated in heavenly places. Powerful song if you haven't heard it. Verse 18. "Perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it." Because there's no fear in love. And there's no fear in the communion elements. No matter what they told you, if you've sinned, don't run from the blood of Jesus, run to it. Just pray when you get here and say, "God, I need you." That makes you worthy. They're holding you. If they're saying you can't have communion because you're not a member, don't even be with them people. They don't even know the Bible. I don't think you have to shake the dust off your feet, but I mean, you know, it's serious. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. We pray this prayer so that we know that everybody that's listening to us is right with God. If you pray this prayer from the depths of your heart, you'll be right with God. And we're finished. And you'll be ready to receive the communion elements. No, you don't have to fear nothing. Zero. Ready? I'll pray it, Sister Land, and follow. You pray along with her. And you'll be right with God. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you.
According to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I
thank you for it. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are.
And you rose again just for me. Put your hands out and say, "I receive you into my life right now.
I receive you into my life right now.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray
in my heavenly language.
And
live a successful life. As a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen. And amen and amen. Now, you might say, "Wow, Pastor, That's the first time I ever prayed that prayer. Something is going on the inside of me. And I'll say, it is. And I know what it is. Jesus just filled your whole being. Grace, mercy, love, and righteousness filled you. Jesus is the light of the world. It just filled you. You've been adopted into the family. You're now heir of God, a joint heir of Jesus. You and Jesus is your elder brother. That's right out of the New Testament. If you don't know where that verse is, you got to find it. Because it gives you life and liberty. And that's the amazing thing that's going on. Now, from this day forward, your place every day is to be a believer. I believe in you, Jesus. Help me walk with you. That's all you got to do. He's in here now. He's leading you from the inside out. And your life will never be the same. It's really that simple. You just got to get people to do it. Ready? Let's receive the communion elements. Hold your elements up. If you don't have any, stop the video. Go get some. Get back here. Take the video with you. With your phone. Ready? Pray this prayer with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement of my peace is upon you.
The chastisement of my peace is upon you.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am
healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
broken. Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' name.
Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you. Thank you that you did it all just for us. And you give it to us willingly. Now we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every sin.
Every sin.
Has been placed in remission.
Has been placed in remission.
In my life forever.
In my life forever.
I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away.
Old things have
and
passed
all
away.
Things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come bold.
To the throne room of grace.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
And the word of my testimony.
I overcome. Blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren is cast down.
And there's
no more condemnation.
And there's no more condemnation.
In my life.
In my life.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made
and
white.
I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus'
name. In
Jesus' name. Receive his bloodshed. And then we sing a song about the blood. This is my favorite bluesy soul song about the blood. Brother Andre Crouch wrote this. And if he was here, he could really
lose it up.
Soul it up. Spirit. I don't know what you call it. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Well, there you go. God bless you. Thanks for being a part of what we do. My email address and website's right down there in the comments and the notes. And there's a link in here that says the full Read the Word Pray list. You can send to somebody and say, hey, start in Genesis and catch up to us. Anybody who will do that study, they'll not be the same in 6 months. Because God has been all over this. And we've learned so much and grown and developed in God so many ways. It is pretty amazing. I want to be a blessing to you. Send me an email, hg@gmail.com. And let me know where you are, where you're listening from. We want to be a blessing and pray for you by name. Those of you that want to send us a letter, P.O. Box 4315, Williston, North Dakota, 58802. And till we see you again tomorrow morning, what day are we on? Tomorrow morning is day number 178. Wow. Till we see you again. It's what we say every time we come here. Remember this. We love you, and God loves you, and Jesus is Lord. See you soon.